what did you learn last year when you were here in the first full year of doing that job?
I think I learned that it's okay to say I don't know. And I also learned to rely on the very smart people that I have around me and to really listen to them. I think that was the biggest thing. It was really listening and sort of keeping my ear to the ground and taking the temperature of the environments, not only of the cast, but of the tech folks and of the company manager folks and the people in the administration, you know, just becoming more aware of that, you know, having my radar really start to encompass all of that, because if everybody's happy and everybody's working on the same page and for the same reason and trying to get to the same sense of excellence in terms of putting on shows, then we're doing the right thing. And, you know, that starts at the top, trying to make a healthy place to do all of this and for the right reason, which is we want to put on some good theater.
One of the things that I remember we had discussed, I think it was the very first time we talked, which was probably about 4 years ago now, I think.
Yeah.
Why you continue to enjoy coming back to this place in Storrs in the Connecticut Repertory Theater, doing summer stock. It's a lot of work in a short period of time, as we've talked about before, but it's what you do, I think.
It is what I do. It's like a gym rat, you know. Once a gym rat, always a gym rat. If you want to play basketball, then you're going to play basketball whether you're in the pros or whether you're out on some asphalt court, you know, on the side of the road. You know, you love the game. I love the game of theater and all its aspects. And I think back in the 80s and the 90s when I was doing Broadway shows, and you got to remember, I had no expectation of ever being on Broadway or doing Broadway shows.
Yeah, you said you wanted to be a rock and roll star.
I wanted to be a rock and roll star or a classical actor, you know, like the third spear chucker from the left at the Public Theater in Coriolanus, you know. All of that success of being in all those Broadway shows came out of nowhere for me, because I had whatever capabilities I had. But when I had some downtime, I'm going, whoa, what happens now? So my friends from North Carolina say, hey, come down and direct this show. Come down and be in this show. I go, of course. So you just want to live in that world of yes and going, I'll go do it there. You know, if you sit around waiting for the next Broadway show or the next movie or the next TV show, you're going to be a very sad and lonely person ultimately, because unless you're a big A-lister on that very short list, that's not the way the world is. People at the bottom have it easy. Well, they don't have it easy, but they have it simpler. And people at the top have it easy and simple. It's all of us in between.
Bill Smitrovich is a veteran actor on television and on Broadway. We were in school together. And when I spoke to him for an interview many years later, he always would say that he just looks for the next job. Even though he was greatly successful, it's the same thing that he was just saying, okay, you got to go. We're thinking about the next job.
Yeah. Bill and I played in the Broadway Softball League back in the 80s, I guess it was. I remember we played on the same team. I think we played for Les Mis, I think, once. Mm-hmm. He did. The journeyman actors. We're all journeyman actors. I mean, you're just really looking for the next job. You really are.
Which brings us to another point about the same kind of subject that this was the year before when you were directing and starring in consecutive shows.
Yeah.
And you said you were really worn down and you just went to talk to Vince about it. And, of course, Vince being Vince, we're talking about Vince Cardinal, the previous artistic director and head of the Dramatic Arts Department. He said, well, what do you want me to do? Cancel the show? You want to go to the hospital?
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing the same thing again this summer. You're in Sweeney Todd, and then you're going to direct Jesus Christ Superstar.
I think I just...
what did you do?
I think I've just been a perfect example of the definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I don't know why I'm doing it. Of course I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I did do it before and I survived it. And it was like a little bit like, you know, hitting myself on top of the head with a hammer, because when I stopped it felt so good. But there was no more sense of relief and having accomplished something at whatever level that might be than having done that. This time around doing it, I'm a little more prepared. I know what to expect. And I've done Sweeney Todd before, and I'm out ahead of it enough so that I'm rehearsing it. And I'm, like I said, your very first question, I've got all these amazing people around me to fill in all the blanks and take up the slack and know what to do when I don't.
You have just finished, or recently, in the last couple of months, I guess, the Jerry Springer, the opera.
Yeah.
I was recalling that you said one of your favorite or most favorite role was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Where you had the lead,
Dr.
Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
And then in doing my research, Jerry Springer was the narrator in that show.
Yes.
And now you played him then.
Correct.
Just recently.
Yes.
How was that?
That was amazing. Because I remember when we were doing Rocky Horror together, he came in for the week to play the narrator in it. And they were having guest celebrities come in every week. You know, Penn and Teller came in. Dick Cavett was there. He was the original. And I remember him coming in. He was a really nice guy. Really affable. Really self-effacing. Smart guy. You know, a lawyer. Was mayor of Cincinnati. And he said, hey, you know, there's an opera being written about me. I went, what? He said, yeah, in London, there's this opera. I said, what's it called? He went, Jerry Springer the Opera. I said, well, what the hell is that all about? He said, I don't know. I'm going to go see it. Knowing him, what little time I did know him, was that he's a really sincere guy. And he doesn't condescend to anybody. And on his show, he never curses. You know, he's always trying to just listen to what they're saying, you know. Is it exploitive? Probably. Is it like that reality television thing, you know, like waiting for the car crash to happen? Probably. But he's also giving everybody their 15 minutes of fame, and people want that. And so you can say he's pandering to one side of us that is not very pretty, but he's also giving all these other people a platform to come up and talk about what they want to talk about and about their feelings, and that makes a difference to them.
You've got three shows this summer. You're directing the final one is Jesus Christ Superstar, which just had this huge television moment around I guess it was Easter Sunday or around that time. Mm-hmm. It's a show that people know very well. When you're looking at it from the perspective of the summer, how do you are you approaching it with the requirements of summer theater and the familiarity that people have with this production?
Well, we all know the story, and we all know how it ends, and it's an iconic piece of musical theater, contemporary musical theater, rock music. So, you know, I've got these amazing designers, and we just have these conversations. And it's like, it's not like you're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. You're just trying to tell the story as clearly as possible. And you're really trying to tell it from one perspective only. Some people have done it a bunch of different ways. It's been done all kinds of different ways with the same results, you know, that it's moving, it's powerful. I think rock music and that kind of epic storytelling have a lot in common, you know, because it's big emotions, big feelings, and big outcomes, you know, and that's what rock does, and that's what the epic story of the Bible can do as well, like Shakespeare does. So I've never done it, and I've been dying to do it for a while. So is Christopher Dembois, who's the choreographer. So our big job is to see it through somebody's eyes as specifically as possible, which is Judas's eyes. See the whole thing through Judas's point of view, because everybody else is kind of following Jesus. Jesus knows what the outcome is. Judas is the only one going, I don't want you to die, man. Because if you could hang around, we could really make some changes going on. So he's the conflicted one. He's the one who changes. He's the one who, for the wrong reasons, or for the right reasons, does the wrong thing. So, you know, we're just trying to plumb the depth of that theatrically.
What's next following the summer when you head back to wherever you're heading back to?
Well, we go back down to Western Carolina University where I teach, and that's where my wife, Charlotte Dembois, and I do our summer musical theater intensive, our triple arts musical theater intensive. We go down there. We got about 50 young students, high school students and college students, and for 3 weeks. We do a big musical theater intensive and do about 16, 17 big production numbers. We have a moving story element we've added to it for choreographers. So we do that till the August 4th. Then we go out to Seattle to pick up one of my daughters who's at the Pacific Northwest Ballet. And then we're going to go to the San Juan Islands out there for a vacation. And after that, I don't know. I'm looking for a job.
Well, you're always welcome back here. So thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, man.